I feel like the Spirit of the Lord has laid a word upon my heart that to me was so powerful, and it has been on my spirit for the last few days. I'm going to ask that you turn over to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1 through verse number 6. So Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1 through verse number 6. The scripture says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man," and he's talking about Christ, "that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest." I mean, you know, if his priesthood was an earthly priesthood, he would not be allowed to be a priest. The priests of the earthly order were from the tribe of Levi. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. He would have been disqualified if it was an earthly order. He said, "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve as an example," or serve unto the example, "and a shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle." Amen. "God said to him," he said, "see that thou makest things according to the pattern showed thee in the mountain." When Moses got ready to receive the instructions as to how to build the tabernacle that would be in the wilderness, God spoke to him and said, "You make it according to my blueprint. You make it so wide, so long, you build it out of such and such material." God told him exactly how to build it. Now, verse number 6. "But now he," talking again about Jesus, "he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Amen. Bow your heads if you will, please, and we will conclude reading right there, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity to be in the house of God. We are thankful today, Father God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. We come now, Lord, to the reading of this word and to the reading and the expounding of the word of God. And I confess of my own self, I am incapable. Therefore, I would ask that you would touch me with your anointing and give me divine capability. Put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. And I would ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would give me the unction and the anointing of God to speak as an instrument in your hand. I feel it. Thank you. Let your presence be known. Let your name be glorified. Let your people be edified. Let your will be accomplished here in this place this morning. And for all of these things, we will be forever grateful, and we ask them in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title our message this morning, "Our Glorious High Priest, our glorious high priest. I want to begin this morning by giving you some context to the scriptures that we have read. The scriptures of the text that we have read or shared. We can only understand how wonderful and how powerful that they really are if we understand the context of which they were written. In order for you to grasp that, I need to give you just a overview, if I can. It certainly will not be an exhaustive or comprehensive overview of the first seven chapters of the book of Hebrews. But I maybe just a flyover, just a glimpse of what Paul is saying. A summary, if you will. So understand, if you were to break up the book of Hebrews into sections, I learned that way. I have a tendency to put things in a particular compartment. Paul is speaking in the book of Hebrews, and he gives us two major sections, if you will, in the book. And if you were to break up the book in those sections, understand that at the end of chapter 7, Paul is ending the first major section of the book. He is ending his from chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 7, and the last verse of the seventh chapter. Paul, whom I believe to be the writer of the book of Hebrews, is talking about and revealing to us the superiority of Christ. That is the key thought from chapter 1 through chapter 7. He is talking about how Christ is supreme and how that Christ is superior over all. Let me give you some examples. And I ask you to turn, first of all, keep your book handy this morning because we're going to share quite a bit of scripture. But I ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. First of all, Paul establishes that Jesus was far superior to the prophets. I have heard people in my lifetime say that Jesus was a good man, that he was a prophet. No, I want you to understand he was more than a prophet. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. The writer of the book, and I believe that it was Paul. He writes and he says in verse number 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, he writes and he says, God, who at different times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, by who? By the prophets. This same God, he goes on in verse number 2, says, has in these last days spoken unto us, not by the prophets, but by his Son, in whom, get this, in whom he has appointed heir of all things. Yes, the prophets had a place. But now Paul reveals that in these last days, in these final days, God has spoken to us through the ministry of his Son. Amen. He says in that last bit of verse 2, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. Now, those are powerful statements. He's saying that when Christ came, he carried with him the brightness and the glory of Almighty God. He carried with him the very expressed image of God the Father. And the scripture says that this Jesus, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. And when he had by himself purged us of our sin, he has sat down at the right hand of majesty upon high. So understand that these verses, Paul is illustrating that Christ is far superior than the prophets. He is saying that in times past, God chose to spoke to humanity and spoke to humankind by the words of the prophet. But now in the last days, since the ministry of Jesus Christ, God speaks to us through his Son. Amen. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He establishes that Jesus was supreme and superior over the prophets. Secondly, he establishes that Jesus is superior over the angels. Look at verse number 4, same first chapter. Verse number 4, being made so much better than the angels. He's talking about Jesus. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said God the Father at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? He gives us three examples. And again, I will be unto him a father, God the Father. I will be unto him a father, and he, Jesus, shall be unto me a son. Example number 2, example number 3, and again, when he bring forth the first begotten into this world, he said, let all of the angels worship him. He's pointing out the fact that Christ is far superior than any angel of heaven. Amen. Now listen what God says in verse 7 about his angels. Amen. And of the angels, God the Father said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministry, or his ministers, or his messengers, a flame of fire. How many of you know that's pretty good? But look at verse number 8. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Much superior than any, amen, any angel or any minister or any messenger. Christ is above all. Far superior. Thirdly, he establishes that Jesus was far superior to Moses. Turn to chapter 3, verse number 1 through verse number 6. I'm going to read the God's Words translation in this particular setting of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 6. He writes and he says, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. So look carefully at Jesus, the apostle and the chief priest, about whom we make our declaration of faith. Jesus is faithful to God who appointed him in the same way that Moses was faithful when he served in God's house. Now let that sink in. Moses served in God's house. Jesus deserves more praise than Moses, in the same way that the builder of a house is praised more than the house. After all, he says, every house has a builder, but the builder of everything is God. Look at verse 5. Moses was a faithful servant in God's house. He told the people what God would say in the future. In verse number 6 says, but Christ is a faithful son. He's not a servant in the house. He is a faithful son in charge of the house. I mean, you know, there's a difference. He's not a servant in the house. He is a son. How many of you know that there is a difference between a servant and a son? Amen. He says, but Christ is a faithful son in charge of God's household. Again, what I'm saying to you this morning and what I'm giving to you this morning is just a simple overview of chapter 1 through chapter 7. And I'm trying to point out the fact that Paul was writing and telling us that Christ is far greater than the prophets. He is far greater than the angels. He is pointing out that Jesus is far greater than Moses. And if you read chapter 5 through chapter 7, you would read how that Jesus is far greater than the Aaronic, amen, priesthood or the high priest, amen, the high priesthood of the earth. He is greater than the Levitical priesthood, amen, because they were just simply a shadow of something better that was to come. So again, I ask you to remember that section 1 runs from chapter 1 to chapter 7. And through that chapter, or through those chapters, Paul repeatedly shows us the supremacy or the superiority of Christ. He's pointing out that Christ is not just one of the prophets. He's not like Moses. He's not an angel of light. He is more than all of those things. Yes, he is that and much, much more. He is over all. He is over everything. And then we come to our text. And chapter 8, verse number 1, is the conclusion of Paul's argument from chapter 1 through chapter 7. Chapter 8, verse number 1 and down are his concluding arguments for chapter 1 through chapter 7. Look at our text again, chapter 8, verse 1. He says, now of these things which we have spoken, what did he just finish speaking? Chapter 1 through chapter 7. Now of the things which we have spoken, from the things that we have spoken, this is the sum. He said, I'm going to conclude my arguments by putting it all in a nutshell, and this is the sum of my argument. We have, when the Lord put this in my spirit, I just shouted. We have such a high priest. We have, let that sink into your spirit. We have such a high priest. Understand what I'm saying this morning. From chapter 1 through chapter 7, he makes all of these arguments that Christ is greater than Moses, and Christ is greater than the prophets, and Christ is greater than the angels of God. He's greater than all of these things. And he says, now I come to the conclusion of my argument. Everything that I said can be wrapped up in this. We have such a high priest. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. Our high priest is not inferior to anything or anybody. We have such a high priest. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than the lawgiver. He's better than Aaron in the old covenant high priest's office. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. Of these things that we have spoken, he says, in the sum of it all, we have such a high priest who is set down at the right hand of God the Father. He's reassuring us that we have a better, superior, a supreme high priest that makes intercession on our behalf. Do you understand this morning the office of the high priest in the Levitical priesthood and the priesthood on earth? The high priest once a year was charged with going in to the very presence of God, into the holy place, and then into the holy of holies. He meant to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. That high priest was only allowed to go one time every year. We have a far superior high priest that ripped the veil from top to bottom and made a way of access where we could come boldly before the throne of God anytime, any place, and anywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. He is far better and far superior than any of those the prophets, the angels, the old priesthood. He has become our mediator and our advocate and our intercessor between God and man. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And he tells us who it is. He said, it is the man, Jesus Christ. Let me just explain something to you this morning. You don't have to go and tell your sins and your failures to a priest. He is not your mediator. You don't have to come to your pastor and tell your pastor all of your shortcomings and all your... No. You can go directly to the throne. You can go directly to the high priest of heaven this morning, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 15. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. How many of you know Testament and Covenant are interchangeable? They are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. Jesus is the mediator. He is the go-between. He is the advocate, the one that stands between us and God. And we go to him. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 24 said that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. I came to tell someone this morning that we have an advocate with the Father. We have a mediator that stands between us and God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is far superior to any prophet. He is far superior to any angel. He reigns supreme over all of the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Our text is a transitional moment, as Paul writes. Amen. I want you to understand the first seven chapters, he's talking about the supremacy of Christ. In chapter 8, verse number 1, he concludes his arguments to solidify what he has said in chapter 1 through chapter 7. Now he turns to introduce to us the second great theme of the book of Hebrews. Now he pivots so that he might bring to us the second key thought. And he makes a transitional movement to introduce to us the second portion, or the second section of the book. He is leading us into the second section, in which the key thought will be the superiority of the new covenant. So understand, the entire book of Hebrews is about things that are better. The first seven chapters, he talks about how much better Christ is than all of the things that have preceded him or gone before him. Now he pivots and he turns and he says, he's introducing us. He says, I want to show you the superiority of the new covenant. I want to show you how much better the new covenant is compared to the old covenant. So the second verse of that 8th chapter, from chapter 8 through chapter 13, he talks about better covenant and how that it has been replaced by a far superior covenant. And again, let me go through and give you some examples. If you look at verse number 6 of our text, that is really where he makes his pivotal moment, his pivotal turn. In verse number 6 of the text that we read in the 8th chapter, he says, but now has he, he's talking about Jesus, now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator. Everybody's Bible should read the same. I'm not sure what version you're looking at, but mine says a better covenant, which is established on better promises. He's pivoting and telling us not only is Jesus superior, not only is our high priest more supreme, but we got a better covenant based on better promises. Amen. Now, how many of you know the old covenant, if you were in sin, was a pretty good covenant? But how many of you know it was limited? Hello? Because what the law could not always accomplish, the new covenant can. Hello? He says, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 22 says, and by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And again, I remind you that the word testament and covenant are interchangeable. Jesus was made the surety of a better covenant. In other words, he became the guarantee. He became the guarantee of a better covenant. That's why he's the mediator of it. Hello? Amen. These verses that I've just shared with you make it clear that the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross was the surety or the guarantee that we are now under a better covenant based upon better promises. Why are they better promises? Because even as wonderful as the law was, how many of you think that you have in your natural ability the ability to obey all 613 thou shalt nots and thou shalt? And the Bible said that if you offend in one, you have been offensive in all of it. So there's not a one of us that could do all 1613 laws and keep our brow clean. Hello? But when Jesus came, he was God in the flesh, and he fulfilled every single one of them. Amen. He was without spot. He was without wrinkle. He was without sin. And he died endlessly so that we might have the promise of a better covenant in him. Hallelujah. The words testament and covenant are interchangeable. And Jesus, the scripture said, has obtained a more excellent ministry, meaning that his ministry is far better than the Levitical priesthood. His ministry is far better than the Aaronic covenant. His priesthood is supreme based upon better promises. Even the Bible said in Colossians chapter 2, and verse number 7 that those things were just a shadow of things to come, but the body or the reality of the shadow is Christ. Amen. In other words, all of the things that they did were just symbolic of something better that would come. And Jesus is that reality. So number one, amen, we have a better covenant based upon better promises. Paul then goes on to tell us, amen, that we have a better hope. We have a better hope. Chapter 7 and verse number 19, he says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by that which now we may draw nigh unto God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Thank God there isn't a one of us here that can keep all 613 of the laws. But let me just tell you, the Bible said that where sin doth abound, that grace does much more abound. And now in the new covenant, even though we fail. Amen. Oh, thank God we can come to the foot of the cross and repent and find salvation in our God. Amen. It's not only based upon better promises and better covenant and a better hope, but it is secured in a better sanctuary or a better tabernacle. If you read Hebrews chapter 9, and we cannot read all of it due to the time restraints this morning, but if you were to read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 through verse number 28, you would discover that there was indeed a earthly tabernacle that was built both in the wilderness and one built in Jerusalem. There was indeed an earthly tabernacle, but if you read Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 1 through verse 28, you will read that there is another tabernacle. It is a tabernacle not made with human hands, but it is a tabernacle that was built in the very realm of heaven by the hand of God. And when God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle on earth, he said, you build it just like the one that's built here. You build it just like the one that I built here. So listen, amen. In other words, this new covenant, it's a better tabernacle. It's built not by the hands of men, but by the hand of God himself. And it was built, amen, not just a heavenly tabernacle, a better tabernacle, but there is a better blood that has been sacrificed. Look in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11. It says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood, he's talking about the blood of Christ. By his own blood, he, Jesus, entered into the holy place. He entered into the heavenly tabernacle, and he offered his blood upon the mercy seat in the holy place. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. I'm talking about a better blood, a better sacrifice. Amen. He entered into the tabernacle, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. For if the blood of bulls and goats, amen, and the sprinkling of ashes of a heifer sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, then how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot and without blemish before God. He offered a better sacrifice. He offered, how many of you know, the blood of bulls and goats could not cleanse. It could cover, but it could not cleanse. But the blood of Jesus Christ taketh away the sin of the world. It completely removed the sin. Let me just explain to you this morning, 13 times throughout the book of Hebrews, the word better is used. 13 different times, because the new covenant is superior to the old. The new covenant was a shadow, or the old covenant was a shadow, and the new covenant is the substance. The old covenant was temporary, and the new covenant is permanent. The old covenant that was mediated by Moses, amen, or it had a mediator of man, but the new covenant, the mediator is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 17 says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of our new covenant. The old covenant was imperfect, but the new covenant is perfected through Christ Jesus. The old covenant was abolished, but the new covenant will last throughout eternity. The old covenant had a high priest by the name of Aaron, but the new covenant has a high priest. He is the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The old covenant was for the Jewish nation, but the new covenant is for whosoever will. Let them come and take of the water of life freely. The old covenant was entered into by a natural earthly birth, but the new covenant, amen, you have to enter it by being born again, being born of the blood, being born of the Spirit. Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning that we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh my, we have such a high priest who is greater than the prophets, greater than the angels, superior to Moses, superior to the Levitical priesthood. We have a superior covenant based on better promises, secured by better blood. Hello? Amen. Somebody, you know, look at me and say, well, preacher, I don't know what you're getting excited about. If you only knew, if I could just express what he put in my spirit. Oh, my Lord, we have a far superior priest. We have a far superior covenant. I thank my God that I was born in the dispensation that I was born in. I thank my God, amen, that I was born in this day and in this age when grace abounds. Amen, 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 amen. We have a glorious high priest. We have a glorious new covenant. Amen. He is seated. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. David prophesied that the Messiah would be seated at God's right hand. Psalms 110, verse number 1. God says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Think about that. Amen. Jesus just has his feet propped up on the enemies. Hello? Sit at my right hand, which is a symbol of power, a symbol of authority. Sit thou upon my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 19, in verse number 62, they asked him, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, amen, we have such a high priest. that is seated in the very presence of God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords over all of the earth. Why is that important? Romans chapter 8, verse number 34, it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, it is Christ that is risen again and is even set at the right hand of God. And he also makes intercession for us. In other words, he's sitting at the right hand of God, praying for you and I and interceding for our needs. He is the mediator. He is the mediator. He is the one that formed the compact, if you will, with God the Father. I will die for them if you will give them life. Amen, amen, amen. It can all be summarized in those words that the Apostle Paul spoke. We have such a high priest. We have such a high priest. Not just a high priest, not just any high priest, but such a high priest. He is ruler over all. He is greater, superior. The covenant that he gave us is greater and better and based upon better promises, based upon his own blood. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 22, and I'm going to try and close. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 22, beginning with that 22nd verse. But so much was Christ made a surety or a guarantee of a better testament or a better covenant. And they truly were many priests. There were a lot of earthly priests. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Those priests of the earthly realm had limited ministries because they were subject to die. I mean, if you know, Aaron died. All of the lesser priests that served in the temples and the tabernacles of old, they're long gone. They all died. But, verse 24, but this man, this Jesus, this man, because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Ain't never gonna be another one. It's him. He is he who was, which is, and which is to come. He has an unchangeable priesthood. And this is why it's important for you and I. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you've repented of your sin and you've been washed in the blood, you haven't just been saved. You've been saved to the uttermost. Because you have an unchangeable priest. Seeing, he says, that he ever lives to make intercession for them. So what I want you to take away this morning from this service is I want you to understand how glorious that Jesus Christ is to us. I want you to understand how superior he is to all things. And I want you to understand how far superior and better the new covenant is. When God began to put this on my spirit, all I could think of was an old hymn that says, how wonderful and how marvelous. Amen. And my song shall ever be, how wonderful and how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. Oh, how wonderful and how marvelous that it really is. Brother, we've been cleansed. We've been sanctified. We've been washed. And we've been forever put in the palm of His hand. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. 13 times throughout the book of Hebrews, the word better is used. Let me just give you a few and I'm going to hush. A better revelation, a better expectation, a better priesthood, a better covenant, a better sacrifice, a better blood, a better promise, a better of things to come. Amen. I want you to understand this morning, we are the most privileged people on this planet to know Christ and to be walking in His covenant, in His New Testament covenant. We are the most blessed individuals. Amen. We have been given such a great gift. The Bible says that how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we take the covenant for granted? If we take His sacrifice for granted? How shall we escape if we do not recognize or realize to see what it is that He has given us? I'm here to tell you this morning, we have such an high priest, high and lifted up, glorious in might and majesty, unchanging from everlasting unto everlasting. Amen. This morning, my heart is to express to you that this great gift and this great covenant that He's made with us, we should never take that for granted. We should never take that for granted. I ask you to bow your heads this morning all over the building. We have a superior high priest. We have a superior covenant. Don't allow the things of this world to lure you away. Don't allow the things of this world and the glitz and the glitter and the love of the things of this world to rob you of this great and beautiful gift of God's grace and His beautiful covenant that He's made with us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for your great gift of Your Son. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is greater than the prophets, far greater than the angels, far greater than Moses, far greater and far more supreme. I thank You for the better covenant, the better promises based upon Christ and not our performance. Thank You that this covenant, this new covenant, is based upon promises to Him and not our performance unto You, because we often fail and we often fall. I thank You for the better covenant. I thank You this morning for the better hope, for the better blood, for the better sacrifice, for the greater tabernacle. I thank You for all of the betters of the book of Hebrews. This morning, God, I ask that You would cause us to recognize that we must not neglect this great gift of Your salvation. We must not just take it for granted. Speak to our hearts this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding and help us to see that we have such a high priest. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over the building this morning. How many of you with me, first of all, would slip up your hand as a praise unto God and say, thank you, God, for the covenant. Thank you, God, for the better sacrifice. Thank you, oh God, for the greater covenant. Thank you for the better, better, better. Thank you for the better. Thank you for the better. Hands all over the building. Now, let me just ask, is there anyone here this morning that you would be willing to slip your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I recognize it's a better high priest, it's a better covenant, but I've been neglectful. I haven't done it. Yes, God sees your hand. God sees your hand and your hand and your hand. I haven't been as faithful as I could have or should have. Anyone else? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have seen the hands that have confessed to you that they have been neglectful of this wonderful, wonderful gift that you have given to us. This great covenant that you have blessed our lives with. God, you have seen those that have confessed they've been neglectful and haven't been as faithful as they could have been. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, through the high priest of heaven, in the heavenly tabernacle, let him make intercession for their sin. As we confess our sin before you, I pray this morning that the blood of Christ will be poured out upon their lives and that they will be washed and cleansed and made completely free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, that we might walk from this place rejoicing in the glory of our God with the joy of our Lord being our strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands all over the building this morning and give the high priest of heaven, amen, a praise that makes heaven tremble. Give him a shout of glory this morning that makes the heavens reverberate. Give him a shout of praise. Hey, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.